Warning, this podcast has stories of real-life events and true crime that happens every day. These stories may contain adult language and graphic or disturbing details not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised. In our society, most people are content to go through their daily lives safely and peacefully. But our society is not always safe or peaceful. For that reason, some men and women answer a higher calling to defend and protect their fellow man. You probably know someone who is one of these people, or maybe you are one of these people. The ones who see and do the things most people would never want to. These things are sometimes heroic and beautiful, but often they are horrific and terrifying. It's these things they don't share about with other people. It's these things they carry with them, so you don't have to. But when they get together, they talk to each other about them. And they call these stories war stories. Welcome to another episode of War Stories. I'm Tom.
And I'm Chuck.
And I'm here.
And yeah, and this week we have a blast from the past, everybody. We got we've got Elliot back with us, who's had a busy busy couple of months, busy year. And we've got you back on to talk about some stuff. And we were going to do short stories, and we still can. But we were talking about this picture that Donald Trump Jr. tweeted.
Oh, it's awesome. I'm looking at him right now.
It's a picture of basically guys that are supposed to be at a rally in support of the January 6th protest at the Capitol building. And I'm not calling it an insurrection or a riot. I'm just going to call it a protest because that's what everything is, right? You can burn down whatever you want, steal whatever you want. You can do whatever you want nowadays, and it's a protest. So we'll just call it a protest. And I guess they were anticipating more trouble. So they put fences back around the Capitol building and all this other stuff and prepared for, and then they have these protesters there. And I swear to God, these protesters are obviously undercover feds.
Well, a couple of them got their haircuts yesterday preparing for the riot.
Right. Exactly.
How can you tell me you're a fed without telling me you're a fed?
Exactly.
It's funny. They all have guns in their pockets.
Ugh, so stupid.
Yeah, there's also another video that popped up this morning of one of the guys that does not look like them, but you know, you could see he's a guy trying to be something that he's not, with his bandana and his glasses, and they have him surrounded because supposedly a man with a gun. And as you watch the video and they're talking to him, he ends up pulling a badge out. He ends up being
another cop. Oh, yeah.
And then they walk him out of there.
Oh, I'm looking at the photo right here.
Yeah. If you wait, you'll see him show a badge.
Yeah.
So what's interesting, and I think I've told this story on the podcast before. I don't know if I told you guys this. I went undercover into a rave one time. Did I tell you about that? No. It was a college town rave. And we went in there. I got sent in to buy ecstasy because supposedly the local college had a guy selling ecstasy, and they had the target identified. They, you know, showed me his picture, all that kind of stuff. My job was just to try and get close to him and buy some dope. And the operation was run simultaneously with the California Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control. And if you guys don't live in California, ABC, as we call them, is the state regulatory law enforcement agency for liquor licenses and liquor serving locations. And basically they handle any and all alcohol violations in the state of California, such as serving to minors, all the way up into and including buying your liquor from non approved taxed sources, like crazy shit, right? So they decided to run their operation at the same time. And so these ABC guys go undercover with me, only they go undercover separately. So they're looking into the alcohol stuff and I'm trying to buy dope. So I'm talking to the dope dealer and he goes, yeah, man, you know, because I hit him up. I'm like, hey, you got anything to party with? And he's like, yeah, man, we got to be careful. I said, why? He goes, because there's undercover cops in here.
He was talking about the feds, wasn't he?
And I was wearing in the wire and everything. And the guys in the surveillance van are listening to all of this. And I'm like, no shit, where? And he fucking points out the ABC guys, the alcoholic beverage control guys, because they were in this like college club bar rave thing, wearing like khaki pants and black matching khaki pants and black polo shirts with high end tights and like nursing two Bud Lights and wow. just standing there awkwardly. So I just remember like leaning down and being like, oh, you mean the guys in the polo shirt standing there nursing those beers? Yeah, they don't look. And the guys were telling me they were in the surveillance van just cracking up laughing because the ABC people were just embarrassed as hell that their agents got made within a couple of minutes.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's a common theme. We talked about it this morning, how many times we were working and, you know, it was either FBI or DEA, depending on sometimes ICE, depending on what the operation was. And they were, yeah, you know, I'm going to be the UC and, you know, this guy, this agent is going to drive you in. And they were like, no, you're not driving me.
No.
How about you just stay over here and we'll go do it and come back.
Right.
They don't even have good UC cars. They're not UC cars. Most of them have light bars in the back window.
And government plates.
It's just a common theme. It's been around. So it'll never change, I suppose.
But the really good undercover feds, like there's some really good undercover feds. ATF has run some great undercover operations. I worked with an ATF agent who had gone undercover with the Hells Angels.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. He was involved in an operation where they faked a murder. You know, you hear about this on the news and all this kind of stuff. They faked a murder of a rival motorcycle gang. And he brought the vest in covered in blood with bullet holes and, you know, all this other stuff. But that poor bastard, when he got exposed, the ATF, you know, far be it for the ATF to do anything right all the way through. They failed to protect his identity. And he ended up getting greenlit by the Hells Angels and his house got firebombed and all kinds of crazy shit. So, you know.
you mean the federal government would throw one of their own under the bus?
I find it hard to believe somehow, you know, just seems so unfathomable. I just thought that was funny because I remember seeing these pictures. And let's be honest. I mean, are they undercover agents? Well, at least one of them that had a badge was.
At least one of them was. Yeah, that's it, right? Wow. I have a question. What's happening in California? What is it, California? Now that your boy Gavin.
Oh, it's so much fun. I really love having all my freedoms stripped away. It's great. So now, because of the great dictator Newsom has won. And in overall fraudulent fashion, he,
did you say dictator? Like dictator?
Like dictator, like he's a dick.
Like a dick.
And also a dictator. Like
a dictator. I thought it was dick.
So the day after he won, and he put out that there's going to be now mandates for, bars, restaurants, things like that, where you're going to have to be vaccinated to go into these establishments, kind of like what they are doing in New York. And that came out the day after, and it's just, I guess it's supposed to be come into fruition in October, I guess. I don't really know what's going on with this. It's kind of all over the place, but yeah, he's going to start implementing some crazy, tactics to where he's going to force mandate, these vaccines on people and. Or you're just not going to be able to do anything. So,
and I posted on social media, you know, it's getting spicy out there when Nicki Minaj and Rose McGowan and I are all on the same sheet of music.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, so Elliot, this is interesting. And I want to take you back to an episode that we did together where we talked about. Like, we gave percentage chances. And we said, at the beginning of all this coronavirus, we're like, okay, 80% chance it goes back to the way it was, just like they say, right?
Right.
10% chance that it, you know, turns out to be this big conspiracy, and then a 10% chance that they decide to keep us all locked down. That 10% chance of them keeping us all locked down is growing exponentially bigger. And I say it's now like a 90% chance that.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be the places that can get away with it. You know,
right.
I mean, we were having this conversation this morning about interstate travel and things like that. So I'm not sure how that's all going to work out if the feds decide that they're going to, you know, or your boy Biden, if he decides that he's going to now somehow cut off interstate travel. He doesn't have that authority, but if you have states that are participating in it, meaning California, New York, you know, some of those states, how's that all going to work? So you're going to have states now that are going to be in full lockdown, and then other states that are going to be wide open. I mean, all of you guys have watched college football probably, or at least gotten a glance of it this Saturday and a week ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was
there's 50, 60,000 people in a stadium. So, and it's not in New York, and it's not in California, nor is it in Washington or Oregon. So how's this all going to play out? So to answer your question, yeah, I don't know. I think the lockdown is going to get worse, but it's not necessarily going to be everywhere. And that goes to another conversation that we had about how the country is going to end up divided if some shit doesn't happen.
Right. So that was where I was going with that, is we said that ultimately it'll come down to, and hey, this could come down to states' rights. This could come down to each state deciding to run their state the way they see fit, right? On a national issue, right? But it seems to me that if I remember my history correctly, that sometime in the middle 1800s, the United States faced an issue where there seemed to be a growing consensus about states' individual rights becoming a thing and states deciding to assert their own rights and telling the federal government they had no authority to dictate what they needed to do or wanted to do or should do.
Yes.
And I remember there being something that came of that. And I think, what did they call it? The War for War of Northern Aggression? Is that what they called it?
Is that the name?
The war?
Oh, yeah, that was it. The Civil War.
Oh, yeah. How it was split in half?
Well, strange.
I mean, it is a very interesting time, you know? I mean, it really is. When you look at some of the middle states and the southern states and, you know, up here north, it's interesting because you have the left coast and you have the east coast. And how's that all going to play out? I mean, I was just talking to a friend of mine that just went to Hawaii for vacation. And just, you know, this whole thing about you need to have a vaccine card or you need to have a 48-hour negative test, and then you have to, as long as you're there, you have to be quarantined or you have to show negative tests every 48 hours. I mean, okay, well, how's this all going to play out? I mean, Hawaii makes its money off of tourism,
right?
Well, how many people, I mean, I can speak for myself, you know, my wife and I've been to Hawaii I don't know how many times. We're never going back.
I mean, right.
I don't need to leave where I'm at and go to some friggin' communist island. So, you know, I don't know how that's all going to play out. I mean, are they just going to be sucking off the federal teat because that's the only way they're going to stay above water, or what's going to happen? And then if they are, who's paying for that? Who's paying for all that federal money to go to a place like Hawaii or California or Oregon or Washington and New York, you know?
But maybe that's what the government wants right now.
That's exactly what they want.
States like this to just, you know, sign over all their rights and go straight governmental and just be governed by the federal government on everything.
Well, we've talked about it, is the verbiage change post-Civil War. Pre-Civil War, we referred to the country as these United States, plural. And post-Civil War, they made a deliberate effort to refer to us as the United States, singular, because they wanted to do away with the individual states' rights and make them districts that couldn't secede. Like, you know, it's interesting because we're at a point where we're supposed to be the United States, right? Well, there's nothing united about us right now, right? We're just 100%. Like, if anybody thinks that we are the United States, we are not right now. There is a fundamental divide right up the middle where there are people that believe that socialism and communism and wokeism and, you know, this, yeah, this, all this, like, this religion of frickin' peace, love, harmony, and I'm going to, you're going to love me and accept me or I'm going to kill you. That's right. It's that mentality versus the stay out of my business, leave me alone, do your own thing, just don't do it in the street and scare the horses and get the fuck out of my way mentality.
Yeah, but what's the big picture here? What's the end game? I mean, why? I mean, what's the end game with all this?
Well, therein lies the million-dollar question.
Well, I understand that. Well, yes, I agree that that is the ultimate end game, but you know, you still have a population that's going to have to go with the program. Well, I'm here to tell you, there's no way. I mean, I believe that most of the population, the majority of the population, either saw this coming or now sees it.
Right.
Right.
So, okay. So how does that work now if you don't have the support of the population?
I can see with. I'll go for it.
No,
I was just going to say that's the next step is. So now the lines are being drawn, right? That's the next step. The lines are being drawn. You see this story in New York. I got really, I got not angry, but really just like, are you serious? There was a story on the internet. Of course, you know, MSN. I follow all the news outlets because it's keep your friends close and your enemies closer kind of a thing. And you should know what other people are reporting and what their narrative is. And this narrative was Texans go to New York, try and enter a restaurant, get in a violent altercation with the hostess over her asking them for IDs and vaccination cards. And the headline was restaurant hostess sent to hospital after fight with Texans who won't show their vaccine cards. Right.
Okay.
That's the headline. So I read the story and the story quotes the restaurant owner. Right. So that's the first thing. The restaurant spokesperson says this is what happened. So now, first of all, we're only getting one side of the story. But in the article, when you read it, it says that the hostess had scratches and bruises. Right. But the headline says she was sent to the hospital. So what you have is a bunch of people who didn't actually read the article or do any critical thinking. And just see a bunch of anti-vaxxer Texans beat up and sent to the hospital, a poor little hostess in New York City who is just trying to do her job, when that's not actually what happened. We don't know the altercation that ensued between these diners and the hostess. She could have pushed one, you know, we don't know. The bottom line. But what we do know is that the headline said sent to the hospital, but then when you read the article, it's scratches and bruises.
I'm still stuck on why are there Texas people in New York.
Well, there's that too. I mean,
throwing that one out there.
But I read the comments, and in the comments, I'm like, one more reason to hate Texas. Fuck you, Texans. Texas. I'm like, wow. And I sent out a message on social media the other day that was just to my friends that I thought was pretty poignant. And it was, I don't even know who the guy is. I've been seeing tweets and stuff from people. I don't even know who they are. They're just regular everyday people, but this is a black dude named Zuby or Zuby Music. I don't know. Maybe he's I don't know who he is, but he's got a little check mark next to his name. So he must be important. Right. And it says, do you know the darkest realization I've had over the past year? It's not about the governmental overreach and it's not about the bastardization of science. It's the realization that a significant percentage of my fellow citizens would turn on me if instructed to do so by a quote unquote authority.
Yep. Yep.
Now, when I say lines are being drawn, bro, I mean lines are being drawn. Are you the kind of person who's going to enforce unconstitutional laws or not?
Well,
the sheriff of Riverside has said no.
Yeah.
And many other sheriffs have followed suit.
Yeah. You know, I was looking at it. I was talking with my buddy the other day, and where we think it's going is one, civil war, and two, you're going to have some sort of, and this is my conspiracy hat, martial law. I mean, you have a woke general. I wouldn't put it past him if Biden's like, you know what, fuck it, we're going to get rid of freedoms. You know, we're going to do this. We're going to enact martial law. I could definitely see it. I mean, everything that we've seen in the last like 2 years with this COVID stuff, it just feels like there's a bigger picture. And if it goes to that, I mean, that's going to be pretty intense. And I can see it going that far.
But you're going to have participating states.
Yes. And that's when the divide would happen with the Civil War. You're going to have factions of the military that are like, fuck that, I'm not turning on the American citizens. And you're going to have other factions that are controlled, maybe not all members of the military, but different parts of it. I could see. I mean, you had that Army staff sergeant, this female, and I don't know who she was with, but she made a TikTok video of all things saying that if martial law is enacted, you better listen to her. And if I tell you to get the fuck in your house, you better get in your house. And when I saw that, I was like, holy shit. And there was a big outpouring of vets and Army personnel. They're like, no, she does not speak for us. And I'm like, good.
Right.
Because that's scary.
Yeah. But you know, you bring up a good point. There's a process here, and we've talked about this on other episodes. And really, even before COVID, we talked about this process, how there seems to be a systematic weeding out of, and again, speaking for police department, you know, a systematic weeding out of people that are going to call bullshit when it's bullshit. And
right, yep.
That little by little, those people are being slowly pushed out, and then they're being replaced by the yes man that don't have the ability to think on their own and make a decision on their own. They're going to be told what to do, and then they're going to push forward to go do what they were told what, you know, to do.
And right, so we're trading General McChrystal and General Mattis for General Milley.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And so I, again, and I don't, I'm by no means an expert with military stuff, but I think that this is happening across the board, because when you start to draw these lines in the sand on this vaccine or no vaccine, the line is drawn in every place, whether it's a hospital or whether it's a, you know, a Fortune 500 company or the military or police department, or you know, there's a line everywhere. And there's some people on one side and some people on the other side. And so it's actually quite ingenious if you think about it, that you could create such a environment by just this vaccine and have people organically separate themselves,
right,
and go against one another. And then systematically, yeah, one side is going to eat up the other side.
Right.
Right. So you're either going to stay and fight, or you're going to just say, well, fuck it, I'm out of here. Right.
And so, and a lot of people said, fuck it, I'm out of here.
Breath. And that's going to be replaced by, you know, the other side. And so it's actually a very interesting idea on how this is creating divisions on many, many, many levels. But if the end game is what you said, Charlie, the only way to do that is to get people that are willing to do that. And so that means that they first have to get rid of the people that are not willing to do it.
Right. And yeah, getting rid of those people. So it's interesting, because if you think about police departments nationwide, and hell, just regular businesses, bring in a new boss, right? They're like, okay, we're going to have to lay off a bunch of people. Let's bring in a new boss and just have him be an asshole and see how many people we lose through natural attrition. Then decide how many people we still need to lay off. And if enough people hate that new boss and quit, they don't have to lay anybody off. Right?
Correct.
So it's this idea of, if you change the leadership philosophy, then through natural attrition, you can weed out the ones you don't want, the undesirables, and then replace them with what you do. And it's been done for decades. It's been done for centuries, probably. I don't know how the Roman Empire worked with, as far as, you know, the centurion leadership. Maybe they had woke centurions by the time Nero came along. I don't know.
Well, and people are too, I think that there's a percentage of the population that are just too fucking stupid to see what's coming.
Right.
And so, although today they're on the bandwagon, and you know, it's like, yeah, you should force these guys to either get a mask, or get a vaccine, or they have to stay in their home. Okay, so you're on the right side of the way things are going right now. What about when these same people decide that your five-year-old child needs to get a vaccine and you're against it? Then what?
Right.
Right. Then what?
Yep.
And guess what? We're going to take your kid and we're going to vaccinate your kid whether you like it or not. Right? So now you're on the wrong side of it. It's a slippery slope.
And right. And everybody always says, oh, there's a slippery slope, blah, 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 blah. No, the slippery slope exists. That's why it's there.
I mean, look at Australia. They have concentration camps.
That's some crazy shit right there.
I mean, it's getting to the point there where they've even mentioned the New World Order. They're like, well, this is the New World Order. This is what we're going to do. You know, and we've built this, you know, state of the art, first of its kind camp where if you're sick, you go to this camp until you're not sick anymore. And if you don't want to get, you know, you don't want to go there and you're sick, we're just going to take you there or some crazy shit like that. And holy crap. Like,
well, it's funny you say that. I was reading an article this morning and I was trying to find it, but I can't find it. But it's basically Washington State was advertising a job opportunity. Hey, what was that called? Hey guys, what was that called? Secure that what? Strike Force. That's right. Strike. Was it? Yeah. Okay. So they were trying to hire people for a position in a strike force group. And when you start to read it, it's talking about there's two places in Washington State where, of course it's voluntary, but you could come over here to this place that's going to be fully secured. They'll take care of your groceries. They'll take care of all of your needs, but you'll be quarantining. And of course it's voluntary. And it'll be secured. So nobody can get in and you can't get out until you have a negative test or until your quarantine days are up or until you get the vaccine. I don't even know. This is Washington State.
Okay.
They're advertising.
Hold on. Here you go. I looked it up.
Oh, you did, right? Strike.
Isolation something. And Quarantine Strike Team Consultants, PS2,
yeah.
Non-permanent. $3,200 to $4,200 a month, right?
Yeah.
Department of Health. And it says, let's see. Strike team member program specialists are responsible for participating in program planning and evaluation of health service delivery products and identifying needs for personal supplies and activities to support community and state response activities. These state positions will staff the state isolation and quarantine facility.
There you go.
And provide for the needs of travelers that stay at the facility. The INQ strike team members are in responsible charge of the INQ facility during their shift and are tasked with responding to emergencies, training contractors and new staff, and providing guest support as needed. Guest support.
There you go. And you don't think that that's coming to a neighborhood near you?
Jesus.
This is Washington State.
Right.
Yep.
So it's like, wake up, people.
Scary shit, right?
Yeah.
This is some and scary shit.
If you don't believe about Chuck said about the New World Order in Australia, I'll take you back to George Bush, the first, who, you know, he famously said that this is the New World Order. And I think it was in the 90s when he was president. He said it in a speech and people kind of freaked out even then. And then it kind of disappeared off the radar and everybody's like, oh, no. You know, blah, 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 blah. He was just, you know, kind of using hyperbole. But when you also got to remember is that George Bush Sr. was head of the CIA before he was vice president.
Yes, he was. And so, he was in the CIA way back in the Kennedy days.
Yeah, he flew during World War II. He was a pilot. And then, like a lot of people, got into government service after World War II. Mm-hmm. Made a shit ton of money privately through his family, but also got involved in government service. And, you know, during the Iran-Contra affair, when the DEA was paying a guy to smuggle, or, you know, well, the DEA is chasing a guy and the CIA is paying the guy to smuggle. You know, so one government agency is chasing him and the other government agency is sponsoring him. And when this guy is assassinated before his trial, they find George Bush's private backline number in his pocket, in his possession. Mm-hmm. And he was running all the operations out of an airfield in Arkansas in a little town called Mena. And do you know who was the fucking governor of Arkansas at the time?
Let me guess. Clinton?
Yeah. Slick Willie.
Yeah.
So, so you've got frickin' Bush becoming president and then Slick Willie following right after. And yet they're both attached to an incident or a scandal that rocked the Reagan administration called the Iran-Contra affair, where the CIA is not allowed to provide aid to a foreign entity fighting for freedom in the Central America. So the CIA provides guns to drug dealers who then provide drugs. It's such a long story when you really look into what Iran-Contra was about, and we don't have time to get into it here, but ultimately you have two presidents that were back to back that were both involved in this scandal that happened within less than 4 or 5 years before they took office.
Yep.
Wow. Yep.
And the guy who was doing the operations, Barry Seal, look him up.
Yeah.
Barry Seal was murdered supposedly by the cartels before he could go to trial and testify. And who God knows what he was going to testify to. And he was
one of the pilots, right?
Yep. He was the pilot.
Yeah.
He was the pilot. Yeah. In fact, they made a really crappy movie about it. Starring Tom Cruise. And I'm sorry if you've ever seen a picture of Barry Seal in real life. He was no Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. But the amount of shenanigans and shady shit that went on involved, and it's two American presidents, one of whom was a former CIA director and also has used the phrase New World Order. And then his successor was like, so there have been people, I've heard people for years say, well, that's how Clinton got elected. He played ball when he was the governor of Arkansas, and that made it his turn to be the president.
Well, they're all in bed together, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, how dirty we are is just, we don't even know a fraction of how dirty we are.
That's why if you go back to our previous episodes on The Locker Room about Bohemian Grove, you will know why that place scares the shit out of me.
Right.
What's that thing that they're been trying to do for a while? Is it like COVID tracing or something tracing? What's that?
Contact tracing.
Contact tracing. Again, in Australia, they are implementing contact tracing. And that same briefing given by the NWS over there? When they brought up the whole New World Order, they also brought up that contact tracing where they are going to be using your cell phones and geolocating you. And then they're going to be sending you a message and you have to take a photo within so many minutes or the cops come looking after you and it geolocates where you're at. And if you are outside of your 5 mile radius or whatever from your home, they come, they get you, they swoop you up.
Right. This was confirmed by an Australian listener. You have to download the app. The government sends you a text. You have 15 minutes to take a photo of yourself and the facial recognition software and the geocaching GPS will verify that your actual face is in the actual location on the planet where it's supposed to be when they tell you you're supposed to be there. And if you don't do it, they'll come and take you away.
Yeah, but it's only to re-educate you. That's all.
Right.
Well, I think that was another thing they talked about was re-education. Like, and we were sent by a listener some stuff about our military doing re-education.
Yes, and we posted it. And it was pretty upsetting to read because
you're talking about people that are in the military if they have to so they're mandating the vaccine and if they choose medical or religious exemption they have to be re-educated. Is that what you mean?
Well, yeah, we can't attribute it to we were asked to keep it anonymous. Are you looking it up, Chuck, to read it?
Yeah.
No. I'm saying that stuff that we're hearing on this end as well. I'm just curious if it's the same thing.
I'm not sure if it's the same. It was basically a screenshot of an email with some information redacted, or of a chat. And it basically said, that there's a 5-page DOD document that lays out the plan for the non-vaccinated in the military.
Are we talking military as a whole, or are we talking a certain branch?
It doesn't. It just says DOD.
I'll read it real quick. Okay. This morning, all non-vaccinated officers and enlisted were formed up and marched off to a mandatory re-education training. The pace is hard to keep up with sometimes. And then the person goes, what? He goes, he sent me a 5-page official DOD document, which you're just talking about, that lays out a terrible plan for all the non-vaccinated in the military. Look straight out of the CCP. And then does the DOD document say that if anyone does not take the shot? And he's like, he calls it re-education camps. Has no idea what will be happening to the troops being forced away to attend. Got kids coming into this, into his unit from boot camp that did nothing but social distance. Upper level command is totally woke. The real forces are in disarray. Career assets and leaving in droves. We are in a very weak position. The pace things are happening. Anyone waiting for an election is wasting time. Which kind of goes on the same token where they're weeding out all the non-yes man and bringing in all the yes man people.
Right. Wow. And in the meantime, you have the most popular president in history who can't go anywhere without scores of people yelling, fuck Joe Biden.
Yeah, did you see that at those college games?
Yeah.
That's
significant. You
know, that's significant, especially because of who the crowd is.
Right. You know, it's I don't understand anybody that sits there and thinks that it's just a bunch of whiny people who are listening to, you know, because basically if I get the vaccinated crowd or the woke vaccinated crowd, because there's two kinds of vaccinated crowd to me. There's the guys who are like, fuck it, I'm going to get the vaccine because it's just going to make my life easier. And then there's the, no, you need to do your part. Like the people that have literally drank the Kool-Aid vaccinated, right?
Right.
For example, Marco on the locker room, he's been vaccinated, but he did it because he has to travel for work. And it was just easier than, you know, before there was going to be all these extra restrictions when they still thought the vaccine was going to be effective and lifting all the lockdowns, or when they said they thought that was going to be, because I don't know. Marco got it for the fact that it was going to be easier for him. But now he's debating getting a booster and all this other stuff because basically it was not as advertised. But you have another whole other crowd of people that are like, I will line up for as many jabs as you need to give me because I am part of the solution, not part of the problem. We are all need to do our part, blah, blah. They're the literal true believers, the drink the Kool-Aid crowd, the Jonestown, you know, hey, if you've got to poison a kid with cyanide to get him to commit suicide, do it because it's for the greater good type of crowd. And that is the group I think that's really the most dangerous. Because they're the ones that are saying either you're going to get vaccinated, whether you like it or not, or we're going to lock you up to protect everybody else because you're a selfish prick. Well, they think that all of us people that are suspicious are conspiracy nutbag, you know.
Right. Yeah. And, until all this shit starts to come true little by little, as you look back at some of the things we've said over the last year or so.
Right. You go back to the Elliot and Mine's episode about this whole thing. There were some things that we talked about that have very much come true that seemed far-fetched at the time.
Yep. But and, you see, those people are the minority, because I can tell you just from a circle that's around me now, you know, we have, or I have conservative and I would say moderate or even liberal people, some of which have taken, or maybe all of which, now that I think about it, except for one couple, have taken the vaccines, right? And right. Some of them are, you know, are hardcore conservative, but because of their age and because of what they believe, they've taken the vaccines. But now you have these people that are now questioning, well, wait a minute, there's a third one, and then there's going to be a fourth one, and then you see what I'm getting at? And so yeah. I think that group of the pro, I'm getting the vaccine, and if you don't get the vaccine, I'm going to shove the vaccine down your throat. I think that group is getting smaller. I really do. I think that there are a lot of people that are waking up to the big picture now. I hope. You know, maybe I'm just hopeful, but I think that that's what's happening. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know how this is all going to end, but they're going to have to do something drastic because the numbers are not on their side.
Right. And that's the other thing is I feel like there's a little bit of propaganda, like propaganda panic, I guess is the way I've been saying it's when they, when the propaganda machine, you know, the Joseph Goebbels, you know, kind of way of doing things goes into overdrive because they realize they're starting to lose people.
Yeah. Well, if you, I was sent a video this morning, it's about 15 minutes long. It's a doctor speaking. We were sent by a listener and it goes over remdesivir. How remdesivir is used by Fauci to treat COVID. And this is, he was like, well, this is going to be used to treat COVID. We used it in treating Ebola in Africa and then posted a link. Well, this doctor was like, well, I clicked on the link and I read the study notes and everything. And after it was a 1-year study and after 6 months, it was pulled because it killed 54 of the people, 54 of the percent, not people, 54 of the percent of people using this drug. It killed them because of the complications. So they had to pull it from the study. And then he used it to treat COVID. And then the doctor goes on and talks and then lists all the complications from remdesivir. And basically it's all the complications that you would see in COVID. What they were saying was caused by COVID when in fact it was caused by the side effects from the drug remdesivir.
Right.
You know, and this is what he was going on to say. This is what they are using to push the dangers of COVID. And at one point, Fauci wouldn't even let any other country use this drug. And that's why America had so many deaths regarding COVID, because no one else had this drug and no one else was using this drug. So their all their numbers were lower. In fact, this drug was actually increasing the numbers because of the side effects from the drug. And that's what he used to push the vaccine and mandates and masks and COVID and all this other crazy shit.
Right. Well, and so think about the money involved in that, in the use of remdesivir. Think about the money that must be involved from bottom up. I mean, from top bottom, from the top down. Think about the money all the way down to the frigging doctors that are prescribing it in the hospitals. You're telling me that these doctors are not getting bonuses for what they do and the protocols that they take within their hospitals? They are. I can tell you from firsthand experience, they are. They are getting bonuses to do things a certain way. And so you tell me, if you have something like, I mean, I can go where I live right now. I can go down the street. I can walk into a place and go get some ivermectin, right? And I know everybody, you know, it's a horse medication and blah, blah, blah. Okay, just shut the hell up. It's not, it's used on horses, but obviously it was designed for humans. The point being is that what's the downside? Where's the death rate of people taking ivermectin for malaria or for any of the other things that it was designed for? Where's the death rate? There isn't one. Right. But how much is that? It's $8 for two.
Well, so that was another thing I was going to bring up, because that's part of what I believe is the propaganda panic. How many people think ivermectin is a horse drug now? Right. And ivermectin is not specifically a horse drug.
No,
it is actually among a group of drugs that you can use in humans and in animals. Because guess what? We're all animals. We all have hearts and livers and kidneys and lungs and all that kind of stuff. And some of these organisms that attack us kind of work the same way in animals as they do in humans. So there is a whole laundry list of medications, ivermectin among them, that is on both a veterinary formulary list and a human physician formulary list. So the idea that you're going to rip Joe Rogan a new one for taking horse pills when he's actually taking regular medication that's used to treat human beings all the time, that's straight up dishonesty, right? Oh, yeah. And it's being done to push a narrative. And you couple that, you add that to the fact that Instagram a couple of days ago apparently banned a hashtag. And the hashtag is hashtag natural immunity.
Right.
Instagram banned that hashtag.
Yeah.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
What, for what purpose?
It's breaking the narrative.
And anybody with a reasonable brain that can be intellectually honest, I'm not saying that COVID doesn't exist, and I'm not saying that it doesn't kill people, but you're trying to get a vaccine that has all of these side effects that we really don't know jack shit about, and now there's going to be a third one coming out, or a virus that you have a 99% recovery rate.
Right.
And you're going to cut off an easy over-the-counter Medicaid. Oh, well, not, I guess the horse one is over-the-counter, but even a prescription, which costs, you know, what, $10, you're going to cut that off from people to take it when they first get symptoms. Why?
Right.
What do you lose? I mean, what, how many people have died from, you know, having a 2-day or 3-day cycle of ivermectin? None that I know of.
Right.
So what's the downside? Okay, so it doesn't work, and so then maybe you may need a vaccine, or you may need this, or you may need that. But what's the downside? I mean, right. it just doesn't make sense.
That's the thing. It used to be try everything and see what works. You know?
Right.
There, I remember growing up, they'd say, well, this medication was developed for this, but we use it for this because we found out blah, 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 blah. In fact, I have a medication that they prescribed me. It's an antihistamine, but it has a side effect that does something completely different than stop sneezing and runny noses. So right. I take this antihistamine off label, and it's prescribed by a doctor, filled by a pharmacy, and paid for by insurance. So if you think we don't off label medication all the fucking time, we do.
Another one for you. After my surgery, the doctor prescribed me anti-seizure medication, not because I was expected to have seizures or I was having seizures, but because it attacks the nerves and allows you to control pain better than just using street opiates. So you combine that with, you know, an opiate pill. So you only have to take one, and then you take, in the middle, you take this, anti-seizure medication, which actually attacks the nerves, which allows you to withstand the pain better and cope with the pain better. So you're not all doped up 100% of the time.
Right. And this kind of stuff is done on a regular basis, and it's been done for years, and it's going to continue to be done for years. And what I guess we're telling people is wake the fuck up. Right. Like, we wanted to do this episode. We talked about this ahead of time. We were going to do short stories, but we also discussed whether we should do a kind of where we are at now. And I'm saying this to all the cops and all the firefighters and all the veterans and all the military active duty members that listen, but also to their families and to their spouses. And, you know, like, I've heard my sister-in-law, who's a decade younger than me, just say, well, you know, eventually we're all just going to have to get it. That's just a fact of life. And I'm like, no,
bullshit. Uh-uh.
Bullshit. It's only a fact of life if you let it be a fact of life. If you bend over and take it, then absolutely. Because you're abdicating your freedom. And I'm going to give you, for all the cops out there, I'm going to give them the perfect example. And Charlie and, or Chuck and Elliot will know exactly what I'm talking about, which is the consent to search. If I come up to your car and I say, you have any dope on you? No. Well, do you mind if I search? Now you're in a pickle. You're like, oh God, I told him I didn't. But if I say no, then he's going to get suspicious. And can he search my car anyway? Can he force me to do it? Am I going to create an enemy? Right. Is he going to get? So you're like, oh, yeah, you know, you can search my car. It's fine. And guess what I find? I find dope. Because you're dumb, right? A person who doesn't have dope in their car and who is a, you know, legitimate citizen, if they get asked, can I search your car? They're going to go, no, I've got places to fucking be. Why would you need to search my car? So that same principle of the government saying, well, we're going to mandate the shot. And you go, okay, they're going to mandate the shot. Go ahead. Well, guess what? They didn't ever have to mandate the shot. They just had to threaten you to mandate the shot.
They have to have some willful participants.
Yeah. And then you bend over and you take it. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Whether it's so understand that law enforcement has been using that technique to get into people's cars and take them to jail for dope for a long fucking time, which is making you feel like you have no other choice.
Right.
And we're here to tell you, you have another choice.
Right. And you know, just before we end this, as we're talking, I just got sent a story for a local big hospital, a big medical group over here that said that by this date, all of their staff is going to have to be vaccinated or they're going to be terminated as of this date. That's been in place now for, I don't know, probably going back about 4 to 6 weeks. I just got an article that said that they're withdrawing their mandate and they're trying to work things out. Because what do you think?
60% attrition rate.
We're going to walk.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they will.
That just happened with General Dynamics.
Right.
General Dynamics just had a massive amount of employees say, we will walk the fuck out. We're not getting it. Yeah. We will walk the fuck out and we are not getting it. There are police departments that are trying to get their officers to get the shot. And when the unions get involved and when they step up and say, we're not going to get it, then they try and make them, they try and force them, they try and cajole them, they try and threaten them, they try and do all these things. Cool. But ultimately, we'll see where that goes.
And some of it has nothing to do with the unions, because the unions are against the officers. And a lot of them, it's just officers who have been had enough, and then they've sought out lawyers and things like that to fight back against it. And there's a bunch of them that have made the news, national news and stuff like that. But then you look back at, you know, how can you mandate this? How can you force this when Biden was trying to come into office, when he was president elect or whatever, saying, oh, we can't force this. Fauci saying, we can't force this. All the others, these other politicians, oh, we can't force this. That's crazy. It would never work. It goes against, you know, everything in the United States, like yada, yada. And it's been making the rounds in this last week or two, going viral on the internet. And now they're all like, oh, well, that was before, you know, the election or leading into it at the very beginning. And now it's, no, we're going to mandate it and force you. No. And then people need to realize that if they stand up and talk and go against it, they can't mandate, they can't force this shit upon you.
That's right.
And they're trying to use a smallpox vaccine thing from 1905. This is not even anywhere close to smallpox.
Right. Right. So we don't have time for some emails, but I wanted to say Jody and Danny and a couple of other people that Troy emailed us. And I keep saying we're going to get to those emails, and I apologize because we keep going long. But we will get to those on another episode to discuss some of your questions and some of your comments. And for those of you that have emailed us, Chuck is trying to get back to the ones that want us to get relatives scheduled or to get them scheduled. It's just been between me having surgery and, you know, which came out great, by the way. Thank you for everybody who wished me well. I did want to leave us with one thought, because if ever this was there's never been a time where this has been more important to point out, I don't think. The leader of the free world, as we used to call the president of the United States, is a fucking moron. He is a doddering old man with mental problems that needs to have his head examined. And I wouldn't even trust this guy. Like, if I pulled him over for a vehicular violation and I talked to him and heard some of the shit that came out of his mouth at these public speeches, I would immediately put him in for a reevaluation for his license and be like, this motherfucker should not be behind the wheel of a car, let alone behind the wheel of a country. But I wanted to share something that somebody sent us because I thought it was amazing. And then we'll get your guys' final thoughts as we close out. It says, while suturing a cut on the hand of a 75-year-old Virginia farmer, the doctor struck up a conversation with the old man. Eventually, the topic got around to Biden and his possible role as our president. The old farmer said, well, you know, Biden is a post-turtle. Not being familiar with the term, the doctor asked him what a post-turtle was. The old rancher said, when you're driving down a country road and you come across a fence post with a turtle balanced on top, that's a post-turtle. The old farmer saw the puzzled look on the doctor's face, so the farmer continued, you know, he didn't get up there by himself. He doesn't belong up there. He doesn't know what to do while he's up there. He's elevated beyond his ability to function, and you just wonder what kind of a dumbass put him up there to begin with.
I know a few of those dumbasses.
I do too.
Post-turtle.
So he's a post-turtle. I thought I'd share that with you guys. But as we slide into a close of this episode, I know we're getting away from stories right now, but you guys, the stories are great. We love the stories, but there's some more important things in your life going on right now.
Yeah.
And part of that is us maintaining radio free America. The chair is against the wall. I repeat, the chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. I repeat, John has a long mustache. For those of you that understand that, great. And for those of you that don't, look it up. Elliot, what do you have to, what do you have to scare us with and make us feel uplifted about at the end of this episode?
I don't know. I mean, I think that I maybe I'm Mr. Negative here is being optimistic, but I think that there's a change in the tide. I really do. And, you know, maybe it's because of my new surroundings, you know, so I want to be honest with myself about it. But I think that there's a change in the tide. I really do. And I think if more people would just stop listening to what the talking heads are telling you you should be doing and start logically thinking things through for yourself, I think you're going to come out with a different view on things in present day. And so, yeah, I don't think it's really negative. It's negative what's happening, but I think that there's a change in tide, and I hope I'm right.
I hope so too. I really do, because there is a point of no return, and I don't think we've crossed it yet. I don't think so. And I'm very hopeful that we haven't crossed it yet, because once we do, that's the tip, you know, it's the tipping point, right? It's the point of no return. Once we do cross it, then a lot of things have to change. Like,
that's when shit gets dangerous.
Yeah. And that's when people die. That's when, you know, we are forever changed. I mean, for all those of you out there who think Trump is running a shadow presidency from Mar-a-Lago, or for all you people that, you know, there's a lot of theories out there. What do we call them? Unpopular political hypotheses. They're not conspiracy theories. They're unpopular political hypotheses. The bottom line is just look for yourself. And if it doesn't pass the fucking smell test, take a second, take a third, take a fourth look, take as many looks as it takes. Chuck, I know you have some dedications, or a dedication for the end of this episode.
I do. We had a listener reach out, and he asked, hey, do you think that you could honor these two gentlemen I served with in Afghanistan? And I said, sure. And he's like, these are the last two Americans, military members killed in Afghanistan prior to the 13 who died. This was... He sent it in, and I said, sure, not a problem. Just write something for me and I'll read it. And so he did. Before I do that, when the ants realize that there are more of them than there is of the queen ant, so the little people, when they realize that there's more of us than there is of them,
mm-hmm.
it changes. So,
right.
But now I'll get into this.
Wait, before you get into that real quick, Elliot, you remember, I know we both watched Game of Thrones, right?
We did.
And what does Robert Baratheon say? He holds up his hand. He says, what's greater, 5 or 1? And his wife, Cersei, the evil queen, says, well, 5 is greater than 1. But he takes all 5 of his fingers and he puts them into a fist. And he says, no, 1 united group is greater than 5 divided groups.
I agree.
So when we stop being fingers and start becoming a fist, that sounded unnecessarily sexual, but
yeah, you kind of went there, huh?
You did. I saw where you were going with it, but you know, it could go either way.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how you're gonna work your way out of dedication.
Just everybody, yeah, that's great. Anyways, Robert sent this in, and he wrote, Sergeant First Class Javier Jag Gutierrez and Sergeant First Class Antonio Rodriguez died on 8 February 2020 from wounds sustained during an ambush that left 7 others wounded. These were the last U.S. service members to have died in Afghanistan until the bombings in Kabul. I only worked under Javi directly, as Antonio was attached to us only on certain missions. I can say Javi was one of the nicest guys on the team, super calm and collected. He trusted my decisions on mission despite my rank as an E4 at 21 years old. He only used to speak out in our truck once. Oh, I'm sorry. He only used the speaker in our truck once, fearing we'd hate his music. He called it trashy SoundCloud rap. And it was exactly that. Bad rap and dubstep. The thoughts of our entire platoon are with their families. We all wear their memorial bracelets for them both. And I can say I personally don't go a day without thinking about them. Till Valhalla, brothers. Sergeant First Class Rodriguez is survived by his wife, Rona Lee, parent Guadalupe Rodriguez Jermillo, and husband Javier D. Jermillo, brothers Christopher James Rodriguez Jermillo and David Jr. Hernandez Jr. His sister, Valerie Hernandez, father David Hernandez, and wife Iselia Hernandez. Jaguar is survived by his loving wife, Gabriela Elena Gutierrez. Children, Gabriel Apollo Gutierrez, Eden Blaine Gutierrez, Helen Esther Gutierrez, and Ami Karen Gutierrez. Parents, Javier and Sylvia Gutierrez. Sisters, Janie Gutierrez and Jordan Gutierrez. Garza Joshua and his nephew, Noah Roca. If I mispronounced any of those names, I'm very, very sorry. Rest easy, brothers. We've got it from here. Those were the last two U.S. service members to have died in Afghanistan before the bombing of Kabul, which is pretty intense.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Chuck. And I agree. Rest easy, brothers. We got it from here. Elliot, thank you for coming back on. We'll actually have to have you back on to tell some stories again, because, you know, we always say, we don't have any stories. And then we end up telling some amazing stories that just entertain the shit out of us. So, but what's nice is Elliot and I accidentally moved to the same area of the country. We live within 10 minutes of each other. We live closer now than we did when we both lived in Los Angeles.
So that is crazy, isn't it? How that worked out.
We moved within like a month and a half of each other just by sheer coincidence. We had talked about it. We knew we were both coming up to this area, but literally within 6 weeks of each other, we were both up here. So,
right. And we're literally 5 minutes apart.
It's nice to have friends.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, until our next episode, come home with your shield or honor.